2 Kings chapter 5. It's just a story. I'll leave you with a story. But I want to, here's the question, here's the statement I want to leave with you, the price of hope. In this day and age, we need more people who can speak hope. Every 4 years when we start going through this whole political stuff, it just makes me mad. You know what makes me mad? Because we Christians can't come together. It's like, I don't care if you're a liberal. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you got a pot full of tea. I don't care about all that. Because when we get to heaven, it's now going to be, hold it. Republicans, hold it. Democrats, liberals, tea sippers, and all you wonderful Republicans. Here we, it's not, if we can't, why we can't get along? I mean, really, we have Jesus in us. And when we get to heaven, I think all of us are needed. But I think we all need to be unified, not in agreement. Folks, there's a difference between agreement and unification. We can be unified and disagree, but we can't disagree and be unified. I mean, just the opposite. I can disagree with a whole lot of my friends for 10 years. I used to go to the Capitol building. We never talked about politics. You know what we talked about? Jesus. And then we all went out and did our own thing for us from the political thing. And when this happens, I just want to tell the church, the world is watching us. Our friends are watching us. And we just can't, I think we need all of us, liberals and independents and Democrats and I think we all need, but we need to come together and we can talk about it and discuss it and tell each other how crazy we are for believing what we believe and then go out and have dinner so that we show the world we got it together. Y'all don't. We can disagree because, see, we family. My brothers and sisters and I, we disagree. When Buddy and I disagree, I don't say, that's it. You're not my brother anymore. Forget you, Buddy. No, we just disagree and we go on with life. And that's just a thing of my heart. I ain't trying to put down any of your belief systems. And I didn't realize how strongly some people are. And tell them, I'm looking at Facebook and my friend was on Facebook and he just put out there for everybody. If you disagree with who I'm going to vote for, defriend me. I wanted to go, man, that is a shallow friendship we have if I disagree with you. I thought this was America, not China and North Korea or Cuba. Where we have, no. I love Jesus. And one day I'm going to go be with Jesus. And in the meantime, I'm going to say what I think I want to say. I'm going to write letters to whoever I think I need to write letters to. But I'm not getting no fist fights with y'all. Because if you love Jesus and I love Jesus, and we have the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from all of our sins, you do know this. You and I are closer in a relationship than my blood relatives who don't know Jesus. Because I'm going to heaven with you. I'm going to spend eternity with you. When they die, when I die, my relationship with them is over. So I want to mix it up with you. I want us to talk about stuff. I want us to, and some people just can't do it. And it has nothing to do with what I want to talk about this morning. I think I talked about it because I'm this close to the Capitol building, so God forgive me. So in 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a story about a man and a little girl and another man. Let me read these words to you. 2 Kings chapter 5. What is God saying to me is a question you ought to ask. Before I read this, you ought to ask yourself every time you come into this meeting, what is God saying to me? You ought to ask yourself, what do these pictures, these scriptures rather, tell me about Jesus? You ought to ask yourself, if this passage is true, how will I apply it? And then you ought to ask yourself, who will I share this with? Surely you're not listening to whatever's being told up here and you just go home and just kind of put it in a sack or put it underneath your bed or write it in your journal, what have you. You got to tell it to somebody. This is good news. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. The Bible says he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The Bible says he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. In other words, there was something wrong with him. You do know that every one of us in this room, there's something wrong with you. In fact, look at somebody and tell them, you know, there's something wrong with you. Some of you want to say it so bad you just won't even look at them. Because they will know it came from my heart, you know. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, the king of Aram replied, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing.
The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel." Pause. So wherever you work, or if you're in school or whatever, when somebody's having a problem, are you the person that people say, "You need to go talk to so-and-so"? Why? "You're going to cure me of my problem?" Oh, heck no, but you'll feel better. Your problem probably, they have something that the rest of us don't have. They listen. They have the gift of listening, and they have the gift of wisdom. And I'm telling you, when you leave, you'll feel better. Are you that person? Or are you the person when your phone number comes up on caller ID, they go, "Oh, I don't want to talk to that person. Oh, God, no. Or they push, and you leave your little message. "I'll call you later." But, you need to have one of, what is later? Later means different things to different people, "I'll call you later." How much later? Much later. Because you really don't want to hear what they have to say. He goes on, and he says the following. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "So go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Pause. The man of God has spoken the word of God, and the guy still decides, "I'm not going to do it." My friends in Africa, when they come over, they say, "Here's the difference between you folk here in America and us in Africa." I said, "What's one of the differences?" He said, "When we hear the word of God, we just believe it and obey it." He said, "You guys go home and discuss it as if you have options." I said, what are you talking about? He goes, "Give me your wallet." I hand him my wallet. He says, "What is this?" I said, "American Express card." "What is this?" "A Visa card." "What is this?" "It's a Kaiser card." "What is this?" "What's the gas card?" He said, "I got none of those in my wallet." So when the man of God comes and preaches that God would do such and such if you just believe his word, he said, "I just believe. We have to believe him." And after he said that, he was from South Africa. He said, "Can I use your phone?" I said, "Yeah, I'll sit in my office." He called his wife in South Africa and said, "We've been wondering how to do such and such and such." And I said, "Yeah, well, Pastor Sam said this morning we ought to do this, and that's what we're going to do. Based on this scripture." And I'm looking at him going, you wouldn't make a good American. No. We have to go home, first of all, and have dinner and talk about the pastor. And then after we roast him, and then we just go right down the list. And eventually we get to, what did he talk about today? Heck, I don't know. It wasn't no good anyhow, What the prophet says, here's what the word of God says. If you do it, you'll be cleansed. Years ago, my wife and I have been married about 4 or 5 years. And she says, honey, you need some help. Hell. Do you see who's in front of you? I don't need any help. And she starts telling me, you got some anger issues. I ain't got no anger issues. I'm a Huddleston. I'm a man. This is the way I'm not raising my kids around all this anger. Well, I thought they was ours. I thought we brought them here together, but no. You need help. Oh, you think I need a counselor, don't you? I didn't say you need a counselor. Yeah, but you think so, don't you? No, because see, if I go see a counselor, what does that mean, folks? What'd you say? Crazy. Yeah, you live in the same neighborhood. All right. And people think I'm crazy. So you know what I did? Woke up one morning and she was gone with our kids. I told my friend, "Why didn't she tell me she wanted me to change?" She said, "Oh, she did. She used language you could understand, an empty bed." So I went, found my wife. I said, "Honey, if you come home, I'll go get some help. Promise. I called the counselor up on the phone. I said, "Hey, look, man, I need to come see you." "Well, here's my address." No. We don't do office. "I will meet you in the park around the corner from your office." Now, that lets you know I had some issues, okay? Because if somebody see me go in his office, they're going to think I'm nuts. I'm not nuts. I got a few issues. She says I have issues. So I'm so concerned about people thinking I'm crazy that it never dawns on me that when people drive by the park, what are they thinking when they see the black guy and the white guy in the swinging and talking to each other? But they don't think I'm crazy. So I go tell a friend of mine, he's having marital problems. I said, "Man, you ought to go see my counselor."
And he looks at me and goes, what color is he? I said, color? I said, let me see if I got this right. You're drowning in the middle of the Atlantic and you're worried about the color of the life preserver. Well, man, yeah, I don't want my business all out in the streets. I said, newsflash! They put divorces in the little newspaper in the town we live in. So he didn't go for help. August 21st of this year, we'll be married 41 years, and they didn't make it, and I think he's on his next one or the next one. I don't remember. But when the word of God comes forth through the man of God, you ought to say, you know what? Got nothing to lose. I'm going to try it. I got nothing to lose. I'm going to try this thing. You know what? Let's try. Let's go down and dip 7 times in the water and see what happens. So he got over his stuff. He goes down. He dips. Naaman's servants, after he gets mad first, and he's leaving, and they said, listen, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So the Bible says he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God told him, speaking the word of God. The Bible says his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. That's Naaman. Prophet, he's not a prophet of God, but he's a man. Here he is over the entire army of Aram. The Bible says that he's a great man in the sight of his master, the king. The Bible says he has left. See, so many people have something wrong with them, and they use it. They use it as an excuse. Naaman had leprosy, but he still got involved in society to the degree that he was leading the army. Most people, you don't understand. You know, I got a really, 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 really bad cold. I really can't get involved because, oh, I've had it. How long have you had it? Oh, at least a good week. I mean, I just can't get over this thing. And we use that stuff. I mean, we all have something. You know, I was abused as a child. And it's legitimate. I was raised by a single mom. I was molested. I was. But the problem is we never deal with it. My mom and dad divorced when I was 8 years old. My father kept all 6 of us kids. Mama was here. We were over here with daddy. Then my grandmother, my mother's mother, even helped us. I was the one angry boy. So I just took it all on God. And then when I got married, I didn't know what was going on. But she was a woman, first woman I ever loved. And so I couldn't take it out on. So I ended up taking it out on my wife. And it finally all came together. You know when it really came together? Is when I went back and had a conversation with my mother. And my wife will tell you, now she's my friend. We talk on the phone. She had me laughing so hard last week. I had to fight. Mama, I got to go. I work. You retired. I need money. You don't. I got to go. Got to go. Got to go. But you don't even want to know the story that we went to get to that place. And here's the reason why. I didn't want her to die and leave me with all the garbage. Oh, heck no. We're going to deal with this while you're still breathing. But when I dealt with it, I dealt with it in a way to build a bridge, not a wall. When I went to her to talk to her, I could hear the words of my father when I asked him, why did you and mom divorce? And he said, Ash, what'd your mother say? When I told him, he said, well, that must be what happened. She was there. My brother was here yesterday. We were talking about it again. He said, man, daddy told me the same thing. We don't know from his perspective. I asked him 3 different times. And finally he said, boy, whatever your mama said happened, happened. I'm not going to say nothing bad about your mama. That was his ex-wife. I'd have a whole lot to say about my ex-wife. He didn't do it. So when I go to visit my mother, I got nothing bad from my father. And I got to work. Listen to me, please. If you're married or you're going through a divorce or you've been divorced and you keep the kids a while and the other spouse keeps the kids a while, don't try to poison them about the parent. You may not like them. They may have abused you and all the rest. But here's the deal. They're going to always be that child's parent. And if you try to poison them, I'm telling you from life experience, you will regret it. And you will pay a price. And so here we have this, you know, we have all this stuff. Then we become angry. We become unforgiving. We play games with people's lives and with their hearts and with their emotions because we jacked up. We let the poison from the past paralyze us in the present. Naaman didn't do that. But the story's not about Naaman. What about the prophet of God, Elisha? He respected prophet of God. He could speak and the elements would stop and he could speak to the water and axe heads would rise up from the bottom and just he could get a message to the king. But it's not about him. The story's about a little slave girl. She had faith in God. Somebody told her, baby, life is not fair, but don't ever lose your faith. She'd been dislocated, mistreated. She's a slave, but she's believable because
A man in authority took her word and $85,000 worth of gold and silver and went to a foreign land because a little girl. Is your life believable? Do you live the kind of life that if somebody came to you with a major need and they asked you, you know, well, should I put my faith in God? I hear you know God. And you tried to tell them about God and they go, you believe in God? You? Is that not what Lot's son-in-law said when he said, look, it's coming here, we're going to be destroyed. And they kind of looked at him like, you ain't about nothing. We've been watching your life. Ooh. But this little girl, she speaks, and a very powerful man believes her. You see, someone, I think, told her, life's not about you. She never loses her faith. And she speaks 19 words in one translation. She speaks. She couldn't have made it in today. She didn't talk enough. She didn't know that everybody wants to know when you're at Starbucks. you know, wherever you're at, everybody's really concerned about what you're doing. They want to know. Really? Okay, all right. She speaks 19 words of hope. If you go back to where you just took me from, there's a prophet. He will heal you. And not, you got leprosy? Isn't it a matter of time different parts of your body going to start falling off, your fingers, your ears, your nose, and all the rest? Yeah, well, okay, I'll tell you what. When your nose falls off, I'll tell you where you can go get some help. She doesn't do that. Tremendous faith. And the Bible don't even mention her name. She changes the whole nation. How did she change the nation? Well, she went back and the king kind of looked at Naaman. Man, what happened to you? You ain't going to believe this, king. We got a real God. They got a real God in Israel. And I went and did what the prophet told me. I got healed. The king told his friends. The people in the family wanted to know what happened. He told them. They told their friends. The community. The military. Pretty soon, a whole nation hears about the God of Israel because one little girl refused to feel sorry for herself. And in her pain, she realized, oh, yes, this is the most painful season of my life. But you know what? In the midst of my pain, God's working. How do you know? I don't. Because when I was younger, somebody said, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Somebody said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will endure forever. And I believe it. So I'm going to live my life acting out the word of God that I was taught as a child. And I know God's going to come through for me. She changes a nation. So let me see if I can wrap this up. See, we all have issues. I didn't realize that anger issue was one issue. I got a whole suitcase full of issues. I'm so jacked up, it ain't funny. My daughter is in high school. She wants me to meet this young man that's going to take her to this event. So I walk in the living room to meet this young man, and there stood this boy with blonde hair and blue eyes. Now, up until that point, I would have died before I admitted I had problems with race. When I looked at that blonde hair and blue eyed boy, I went, and here's the first thought went through my mind. We are not taking any pictures tonight. There will be no evidence. Somebody brings it up, I say, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, the bad part is I asked my daughter the other day, honey, you know, when I tell the story, I would like to have a picture of, you know, you guys at that event. And she just kind of looked at me like, oh, what? A picture? We don't have one, Pops. I said, God, where's that poison coming from? He said, it's in you. It's not in me. I am not that way. God, I grew up and I started naming them all the races that I grew up with. That's fine. You grew up with them. But tell you what was in you started growing, too. Oh, God, you know, well, how do I, and I had to start dealing with it. And I'm glad I did because now I have three of the most beautiful, you know, grandchildren. They're mocha. And they're some good looking babies. And God, if I hadn't dealt with that issue, man, I'd be in bad shape right now. I'd be in really, 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 really bad. But God said, you got to deal with this stuff, son. And just for the record, I still got issues with some white folk. I got some issues with some black folk. I got some Hispanics, Mexicans I don't like. I got some Asians and some Indians. In fact, I got some cousins I don't like today. If you mistreat people, I don't care what color you are, I don't like you. And I'm not going to walk up to you with this big Jesus grin on, I love you in the name of the Lord.
No, no, no. I like to take you behind the church with Caleb because Caleb is more violent than I am, and let him just. He got his dressing from his mama, but he got his violence from his. I'm going to leave it alone. I ain't going to do that. I shouldn't say that with Mama Cole in the house. I should not say that. No, not at all. Because his grandfather was such a peaceful man. You just don't even. He loved his family. So hear me wrap this up. There's a picture coming up on the monitor, my brother and I. I was 8, he was 9. We were in the Sunday school class together. He's the one with the small head, okay? So, it wasn't that funny, folk. I mean, okay. Anyway, and we were together yesterday, and I love my brother. I love him, and I love all my brothers and sisters. And the next picture is our Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Harding, and she taught us a song. A sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. A sunbeam, a sunbeam, I'll be a sunbeam for him. And then we had like a sunbeam, you know, make a little face, you know. And the next picture is my graduation picture out of high school. And then 90 days after the graduation that I did not participate in for other reasons, I took the following picture. Now you know why I missed graduation, don't you? I'm cleaning out my cell one day at this nice hotel paid for by the state of California, serving a 5 years-to-life sentence. And I hear this song in my ear. It's a song of hope. My Sunday school teacher, who had 3 daughters and a son, she was just faithful doing the one thing she knew how to do. Now all the years have passed, and I've nursed my anger. I've nursed my prejudice. I've nursed my unforgiveness. I've nursed my pain. And now there's a result. And I hear this voice in my ear singing, a sunbeam, I don't be a sunbeam. Sammy, Jesus still wants you for a sunbeam. Sunbeam, a sunbeam, Sammy, will you be a sunbeam for him? And I had the propensity to go, you know. And I'm thinking, man, if I'm like this, and the guard walks by, oh, open the door, we got a nutcase, Sam, to nut it up, too much. And I remember going in the prison yard, looking up to heaven and telling God that I didn't believe he existed. But my father said he did, and he's never lied. And so I'm a candidate for whatever you have to offer. And I asked Jesus to help me. I said, God, I got so much poison inside of me. I don't even know what. I need help. I need help. And all I know is that Jesus came into my heart that night in the prison yard. And I began to do Bible studies and change, get out of prison 3.5 years later. I've been locked up 1.5 years. And I went to Bible college, went to graduate school, earned a doctorate degree, began to get involved in life. Pay taxes, and all of a sudden, I found myself leading a ministry that was a statewide organization that was started by Governor Reagan when he was a governor, but now he was the president, and I'm the executive director of this organization, and I wrote him a letter and asked him would he meet with us and endorse us. We're doing a new promo video, and the next picture is my father and I with President Reagan. And you know what? To have caused a man as much pain as I did, I can't tell you the joy that picture that day brought to me. Each one of my siblings have a 5x8 photo of that. And one of my nephews, when he was this little bitty guy, he looks at the picture and says, Mama, who's the white guy with Grandpa and Uncle Sam? So now he's in his 30s, and we tease him. You ever figure out who the white man was? You ever figure out who he was? And then God allowed me to pastor a church. It was a glorious season because that's where he started working on my heart. We had everybody there. I mean, blacks and whites and Hispanics. And we had everybody. It was a glorious place. Remind me of the town I grew up in. And so this picture is a picture of our staff and at one point. And, you know, when you really want to find out what's in your heart, just bring a bunch of people together that don't look alike. And then they got to deal with issues. And we had to deal with some issues. Of course, now they had more issues than me, but, you know, by this time I was an expert at helping them deal with issues, okay? But God was good to us. He was very good to us. I taught my son. He could come up here and sing the song, Sunbeam song, but I taught him and his brother and his sister the song. Then they started having kids. They were kicking out kids, man, like they were getting paid. You know, boom, 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 boom. Next thing you know, we had 13 grandbabies. I started teaching my grandchildren the song. And one day I looked at my grandkids and I said, would y'all like to meet Mrs. Harding? And they said, yeah, Pop, we want to meet Mrs. Harding. We got in the car. We drove 2 hours down to Livingston.
And I found out from Mr. Harding, she was in the hospital. So we drive to the hospital. I call my brother, Buddy. I said, man, our Sunday school teacher's in the hospital. We got to go see her. Meet me at the hospital. Okay, I'll be there. And the next picture is me and my six oldest grandbabies in the hospital. And I walk over to Mrs. Harding. She's got tubes everywhere. And I kiss her on the forehead, kiss on the cheek, kiss on the nose, kiss on the chin. I said, Mrs. Harding, this is your Sunday school boy, Sammy. She always thought I was good. Even after I got out of prison, she said, you were such a good boy. I said, I told the judge the same thing. Your Honor, Mrs. Harding will verify. I'm a good boy. I'm not the one you want to send away. Oh, no, no, you're going somewhere, boy. You're going somewhere. And I said, I have some very special people, Mrs. Harding, that I want to introduce you to. And I started introducing her to my grandchildren. And after about the third or fourth one, she says, Sammy, how many kids you got in this room? And I laughed and I said, now that's my Sunday school teacher. And I said, they've come to sing you a very special song. My grandkids start singing to her the Sunbeam song. My brother was standing over here, and tears are flowing down his cheek. I'm saying, dang, man, they ain't singing that good, man, you know? There ain't no anointing on that, bro, okay? And then I realized that same song that got to me was getting to my brother who wasn't walking with Jesus. And then when we got done, I went over and I kissed her again. I said, Mrs. Harding, thank you for speaking hope over my life. Thank you for doing what it is. You didn't talk about the political stuff. You didn't do this. You just told us about a man named Jesus. You said wherever we were at, he would always be there. You said if we ever get to some place and nobody can be there, Jesus will be there. I said, and he was. So now her and Mr. Harding, they never went anywhere. They have a motorhome. Still have a motorhome, probably sitting in their driveway. Never been on an airplane. Never flew to another country. My wife and I have been to so many countries, I can't even tell you how many. And one time I called her from Africa. Sammy, what are you doing there? Well, Mrs. Harding, I'm telling people about Jesus and how to be sunbeams. She goes, you really like that song, don't you? I want to go, I hate the song! But if you raise your voice at your Sunday school teacher, man, God will turn you into a cockroach. And then let somebody come step on you. I said, yes, Mrs. Harding, I love that song. I love that song. And this last picture, this is our family. This is all of us. My wife and I, and I turned 60. We all went on a cruise together. And it was a glorious day. And I was looking at one of my granddaughters. She has these big, beautiful, dark eyes. And I was just looking into her eyes. I have another one, my son's oldest daughter. I said, you have such a perfect face. It's just perfect. Look at it. It's just perfect. But I'm looking in the eyes of my little granddaughter, and I started crying. She said, Papa, what's wrong? Are you okay? I said, honey, the world is perfect. The world is perfect. You want to know why? Because my wife loved me enough to say, you need some help. You need some help, brother. And to show you how desperately you need help, see ya. And because I didn't want to end up like my mom and dad. The world is perfect. Because my children, the other day I had breakfast with my daughter, and she's telling me, Dad, this is, and as she's telling me truth, Randy was riding in the truck, and my daughter, she's really giving her dad some guidance on a situation. And I just reached over and grabbed the volume on the radio, and I just started turning it up. Because I didn't want to hear what my daughter, who's turned 40 a few times now, you know, she's not getting over 40. I'm just telling you that right now. Last time she turned 40, I said, oh, honey, we're going to celebrate your 40th birthday. My little 8-year, 9-year grandson said, she's not 40. I said, son, what did your daddy just say? He said, he didn't say nothing. You need to file a suit. Trying to save you your teeth, buddy. You know, you like those. You like them? Keep your mouth shut. My children, I've had men and women in my life who've loved me enough to confront me. So I go all over the world, took my 3 oldest grandchildren to Africa so they could see what we're doing. My wife and I took them. But it was because of a lady. Had a wonderful father. But this was my Sunday school teacher who did what she could do with the gift that she had. Even in her pain, I didn't realize how much, as I got older, you know, when you're a kid, you don't realize what older people go through. My grandmother ironed, I don't ever remember going to school without even an iron shirt. And my grandmother was ironing for 6 kids. Her ankles would swell up. I was, oh man, how come your ankles swell up? You know, I'm just a kid, I don't know what's going on. Your ankles ain't swelled up, mine. And she would be sewing and she'd have the needle and she'd be trying. I said, yeah, I'll do it for you, Grandma. Just put it right in there. Now it's my turn. Where's that magnifying glass at? Put it right there. No, the big one. Oh, yeah, there we go. You get old.
Mrs. Harding has impacted 3 generations of my family. This church can impact the world, but not without you. You're the reason. You're the reason that hundreds and thousands of lives will come into the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, Pastor Caleb and Chrissy, they're going to be your cheerleaders. But they need you to help. You may be here this morning. You may even be like Mrs. Harding, or you may be like this little girl. You may have a sack pack full of excuses. You could be like Naaman. You know, you've used an excuse for so long. That's just who you are. But this morning, God is saying, you can be free. You can be free. So I just want to pray for you. Pastor Caleb's going to come.
If this message has blessed you, be sure to visit ProjectSacramento.com to give. Be blessed and know that you will be a blessing to all those who hear the message of hope that can be found in Jesus. We will see you at our weekly service on Sundays downtown at 9:30 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. or at West Sac at 10:30 a.m.